Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Jason muttering to himself during the break that he needs to have his entries for his football pool in alphabetical order. God does a lot of work in that spiral notebook.
He does, man.
I do.
He writes more in a spiral notebook than like an entire elementary school put together. He does a lot of work in there.
Week two, baby.
He's a good commissioner. He keeps everybody abreast of what's happening.
Of course.
Not going to kill him for it. But, man, it's a lot of scribbling, a lot of serial killer scribbling in that notebook.
There's a lot of cash up for grabs.
There certainly is.
All right, let's get back to hitting the skins.
Yeah, love to hit the skins, Cakes.
Who doesn't?
Lurch doesn't.
Nope. Those days are over.
Such a weird answer.
All right, so let's do this. I think it'd be more interesting maybe if I let you guys don't look at it.
All right.
Okay. I want you just to give me the first team. The offense I think you could do fairly easily. There might only be one or two curveballs, but go ahead. Give me the let's start with the offensive line. We just went through it in the last segment.
Well, so left tackle, it's going to be either Brandon Coleman or Cornelius Lucas.
They have Coleman listed as one, so I'm assuming that means maybe he'll be ready for week one. I don't know.
Allegretti, the import from Kansas City, is your left guard.
Biotis
is your center.
Right.
Right tackle's right guard is Cosme.
Right.
And Wiley's your right tackle.
Now, PFF, based on last year's grading, that 27th, I'm not going to
argue. It's not last place. Not 32nd. That's improvement.
I'm not
I think
argue.
Carolina was done
I think
last.
It's going to be a unit that needs to really be on their game.
They got
to
stay healthy and play well.
Yeah. But I'm going to say this. It's not my primary concern, even though it's a major issue, because I always think you can max protect, you can bring in an extra tight end, you could bring in a running back to chip, those kinds
You've
of things.
You've also got a super mobile quarterback.
You got a mobile quarterback who can run.
It.
He could get rid of the ball quickly they did. They're going to scheme around it.
Yep.
Like, that's the thing that blew my mind. Those losers last year that we had in here coaching, all those losers,
right?
Especially the offensive coordinator loser, he didn't scheme around it enough. He did it like once or twice, like for a full game. Like, scheme around your mediocre offensive line, give them more help, get rid of the design plays to get rid of the ball quickly. I think you could scheme around
it. He put a lot of pressure on the offensive line.
He put so much pressure on him.
Because he was forcing those guys to block good lines.
Forever.
For a young, inexperienced quarterback.
Right. And eventually it came back.
Kingsbury's going to be balanced.
While I agree, on paper, that ain't a great offensive line.
No, it's not.
I think it will be serviceable.
Bottom third.
Okay, fair. I think it will be serviceable.
I mean, maybe it plays better than bottom third. Maybe.
I think it will because they're going to get rid of the ball quickly. They're going to scheme around it. All right. Tight end. Who's number one on the depth chart? Cakes.
Zach Ertz.
By the way, where is Zach Ertz going in your fantasy leagues? What round?
Super late.
Wow. That's a steal. You should have
13th through 15th round.
Why wouldn't you pick him? He's going to be a baller until he gets hurt.
Other guys better.
He's going to be a baller until he gets hurt.
Maybe in a full PPR you would consider him late. I need to see kind of what he does. Make sure he's healthy.
Within 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to be rushing to the waiver wire.
You could be correct.
Did he go undrafted in a lot of leagues?
Probably in a lot of leagues undrafted.
Oh, my God.
He went undrafted. I picked him up as a free agent.
That's
freebie.
Insulting. And then listen, when he gets hurt, you cut him.
Because my top two tight ends are hurt.
All right. How many?
Hockenson.
Hockenson's out for the first 4 weeks, and I took Brock Bowers.
How many elite?
But he's questionable. I don't know if he's going to be out, but he's questionable.
How many elite tight ends? Because, you know me, I don't play fantasy. I don't care. It's a pain in the ass. How many elite tight ends are there?
3 to 4.
All right. After that, is the next level what? Like the Logan Thomases?
No.
What's the next level?
Logan Thomas got cut.
Your next level is like your Kyle Pitts's, your Evan Ingram's. I wouldn't put Kittle as elite. He's right outside, I think.
Well, I think
what about
pretty
like
good.
A Jake Ferguson?
Well, what is
Ferguson's
Kittle,
kind of in that
what is
range,
Kittle,
too.
What does he average? 65 catches or so? I mean, I'm just guessing. I have no idea.
I don't know his
It's probably right
in that range.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so in your third tiers, you would put Ertz in your third tier, maybe?
You might be like a fourth tier-er.
You're doing that just because he's been hurt the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But what's his ability?
His ability, if he's healthy, could be the second guy in targets on the team behind Terry McLaurin.
I'm telling you, insulting that he's going undrafted. All right. Give me the running backs. Well, they really only list one running back.
Rob Eckler and McNichols.
Right. So Robinson is number one.
Yeah.
And according to Keim, it's not going to be a situation like the Jason was arguing and Duffy JP that Eckler is going to eventually get the bulk of the carries. It's Robinson's the primary back.
Yep.
They love his physicality and everything. And Eckler's the third down back. It's
looking like I'm
going to
lose my bet with Cakes unless things change.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
By the way, Kittle had 65 catches for 1,020 yards.
I nailed that.
Six touchdowns.
My tingle just nailed 65. Boom.
Your tingle meter, silly.
What? Let's go to Dan. Drabby says I got to go to Dan.
Danny.
Dan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, boys.
Hello, Dan. Good morning.
What's up?
I woke up this morning and I put on your show like I always do every single morning.
Thank you.
And I just was stunned when I saw EB.
Why?
EB looks like a completely different person.
Why?
I mean, I haven't seen.
I haven't shaved in days.
EB, you look like you got a little sparkle in your eye. You look awake. I mean, usually you're half asleep at the 6 a.m. hour.
That's true.
Hey, this is spring. This is what happens when you start talking.
You were ready to put the armor on and defend yourself.
Yeah.
And he said he was giving you props.
I don't understand why you think I look good, because I have low self-esteem right now.
He's just saying you look energetic.
Yeah.
The last time you looked this good or sounded this good was RG3. I mean,
he's ready for
honestly,
skin season. So
you think the Jane Daniels hype is making me more attractive?
I think it is, man. I think you looked pretty good today. You look, and the biggest thing is just the fact that you look like you're into the show.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely into it today.
Hold on. Did yesterday not look like I was into it?
Not like today, man. Not like
really,
today.
Really.
But what is it?
I feel like I've been pretty locked in this week.
What is it about today, though? Just because we're talking more Commanders?
I don't know. I think maybe it's just the build up to the first game. It's finally
mounting.
He's like feeling
the anticipation
it now.
Is there.
Yeah, he's feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it because I do have pretty low self esteem. I feel like I'm a little bloated. I feel like
you said you were going to shave. You didn't shave.
I'm going to shave today.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going
to
shave.
You got a glow. You got a glow to you today.
Wow, really?
Dan, I think wants to go on a date with you.
Yeah. Well, I don't really want to go on a date with him. But
nah, let's not do that.
Okay.
Anyway.
What's up? All right,
thanks for the call.
I need your prediction on the season. Let's see if you have any credibility.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm an Eagles fan. So.
Oh, you're an Eagles fan? Did you know that? Did you know he was an Eagles fan?
No.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to you guys since 2000 when I moved here. So.
Right. So who do you think is the most attractive junkie?
Oh, man, it sounds like he's a team EB.
Oh, man. That's tough, man. I mean,
who do you think it's between?
Any other day, EB, you're not even in the top. You're not even in the top two, but I will put you in the top two today, brother.
All right, who's number one then?
It's got to be Lurch.
There you go. See, he likes me.
He loves the papa.
He ain't that. He's kind of pasty looking.
This is weird.
Lurch doesn't get that much sun.
What do you mean? I play golf. I get sun on my
face.
Yeah,
but you're Irish or something.
Yeah, you
know, he's fair skinned.
Got Irish, Danish in me.
I don't have that money tan.
Right, you know what? Tans are overrated.
They are overrated. Right. I agree.
All right. Well, you're losing me a little bit here, Dan. But okay. I appreciate the call.
Sorry, boy.
All right. Thank you.
Later.
Bye, Dan.
Are you telling that the Redskins hype?
Said you have a glow to you.
I might have a little bit of glove. I do have an extra kick. I mean, the football season starts tomorrow.
I know.
My daughter's coming into town.
Hey, who's bringing in the 9.5% IPAs?
You are.
9.5? I don't do that.
Let's do it. Let's rock it.
Do you know that I'm a grown-ass man who some might say borderline alcoholic? And I go to restaurants and they give me the beer list. I never know what to order. I just
paralyzed by it.
I don't even know what I like. Do I like pale ale, IPA? I don't know anything.
Just ask the waiter or waitress, what do you have on tap?
I don't know what to choose. I never know because I'm not a beer guy. Mm. I like liquor.
Well, then order a mixed drink.
Yeah, but I'm with a bunch of beer people.
Well, you can do you.
I can do
if
me.
If I'm with a bunch of dorks that love bourbon, I still will order a beer.
Yeah, but do you have a go-to at any point?
Give me an example. I might not even really want to drink because it's early. It's a lunch. Mm-hmm. And I don't really want to drink, so I don't want to order liquor. But everyone's ordered a beer, so I want to be part of the crowd. Get a beer. I don't know what beer is.
Top shelf liquor.
I don't know what my favorite beer is.
Okay.
So you know what? This is an honest to God true story. This is not fake. Honest to God, swear on all my children.
Order Surfside.
Very good.
Nicely done. That's what I did.
Order Surfside.
Well done.
That was my answer.
Perfect.
Get a Surfside.
Which kind?
Strawberry?
No. I'll be honest with you, I wanted the strawberry. They only had the iced tea lemon, which is fine. I like that. But the strawberry's a little sweeter.
The Surfsides are dangerous because I pick it up and I take a gulp. I set it down. And then I pick it up. I'm like, there's not much left after the first gulp. Gulp a little more. Put it down. And then there's just like a little pinger left in the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like there's like half an ounce. They just go down so smooth.
Another freebie.
Go down with the quickness.
Another freebie for Surfside. Who are huge sponsors of the show or huge proponents of.
We'd love to be equity partners at some point. I just need to throw that
out. They were aerating or whatever they were doing. I don't even know. They were doing something over at Norbeck. Mm-hmm. So we asked if they could just hook us up over at Manor down the street. And then Manor people have always been really nice.
Lots of reciprocity.
So went over to Manor. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I enjoy that place. And at the turn, wasn't going that great. Needed a little cocktail, something to lighten the mood.
You need a pick-me-up.
And we said, where are the Surfsides? But there's no Surfsides?
Right.
No Surfsides in here. She said, everyone's asking for the Surfsides.
Everyone's.
And we're working on it. Made a phone call.
Yeah.
Next day, Surfsides delivered. Manor now stocked. So all the members over there can thank your boy.
Love it.
I hooked you.
Mm-hmm.
Made a call. Bobby Balicki. And now they've got it.
It's fantastic. It's good news.
And I hooked Bobby Balicki because I gave him a new account. Hooked everybody.
It's a good thing.
All the way around. About these? Pretty good.
I actually did the same thing at a club.
Yeah, I did the same thing too at Northwest.
The tentacles just spreading out. I love it.
Yeah.
You connect people.
Bobby owes us a kickback.
Yeah. I could use a couple cases. Sure. I got some guests coming to the house this weekend. Coming today, Lurch.
How many?
Is this a bad move? I got friends, dear friends of ours, flying in from Tampa. But my daughter has a massive game today. And so I told him to take an Uber to the house.
It's fine.
Is that okay?
Of course it's okay. What are you, a chauffeur? You're expected to pick them up?
I mean
it's nice
close
if you're
friends.
Available.
When I put it this way, when I go to Tampa and visit, they pick me up at the airport.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel bad.
You'll get over it.
Is this the week where you have all the people coming in? You got a big catering deal?
Yeah, on Saturday.
All the people.
Like 50 people.
Sounds expensive.
That's another reason why your head would explode.
Yeah.
That's why they clean the house.
Houses. Yeah. I cleaned it, painted it,
Angel's finally done.
Today.
You know what? You know what I'm
getting
gonna
it
do?
In.
You know what though?
Last
what I'm
second.
Do when I go home, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna sleep, and I'm gonna wake up and be like, oh, it's time to drive to MGM. Missing cards.
Oh,
I'm not gonna do any work.
Oh, but you know what? October 2nd though, your boy.
I'm putting you on the schedule.
Thank you.
You're on the sked.
Yeah, hotel. Make sure I have my.
You'll be good.
Whistle.
You'll be covered.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
As if you need that.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta have
I'm gonna do it at the poker table.
No, you can't do that. You get thrown right out of the room.
Here's the thing. I hate this.
Limitations. JC Allen joins us now from Tampa Bucks. Coverage for Bucks Game Day and SI Now. JC, what up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
We're doing good, man.
We are curious what you got down there. Obviously, Tampa had the big playoff win last year. I think surprised a lot of folks. Todd Bowles, defensively, we know what that is. You lose the offensive coordinator that works so well with Baker Mayfield. How are folks feeling in Tampa?
I think the optimism is pretty high. You go into an off season where there's so many question marks. First, as you mentioned, you lose Dave Canales, so you're replacing a offensive coordinator. But names like Levante David, Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr., Baker Mayfield, all free agents. Some of them expected to hit the market, but the Bucks go in and they bring in Liam Cohen from the Rams, which helped bring back Mike Evans, helped bring back. Baker Mayfield as well, who had spent time with him, similar system. They get Antoine Winfield with a franchise tag and then sign him to what was the largest contract for a defensive back before Patrick Surtain just broke that.
yeah, that was like this morning, right?
Yeah. They bring back Levante David. They sign a key pivotal player missing from the secondary in Jordan Whitehead. And then they reach a long-term deal with Tristan Wirfs to lock him up as the highest-paid offensive lineman in NFL history. So there's a lot of optimism about the where the defense is headed, bringing back a majority of the same playmakers and adding to it with a Jordan Whitehead and through the draft, second-year development. And then on the offense, while Dave Canales will certainly hurt, a little bit. I think Cohen comes in and he's a direct branch off that McVay tree where, kind of Dave Canales was from the Shane Waldron and had some, different things in there from Pete Carroll and Daryl Bevel and Schottenheimer, Marty Schottenheimer that he learned, or Brian Schottenheimer rather, mm-hmm. And kind of was a mix of that and no experience as a play caller. And you bring in Cohen, he's got that experience. He's bringing that same system over, so there's a lot of similar terminology, a lot of similar things that they're doing as far as systematically, and I think that leads to a lot of optimism that the Bucs, can go out there and repeat as division champs.
Well, it's a lot of optimism, and I think that brings great expectation, but is the confidence totally in Baker Mayfield to have the year like he had last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at Baker Mayfield, he's kind of an enigma as a quarterback, right? He's never really mm-hmm. had success in back-to-back years, but when you kind of look at into the why behind that, you start to realize he's never really been given a chance. He comes into a terrible organization and he loses his head coach is fired and then offensive coordinator is fired and you go through the changes, and by the time he lands in Tampa, he's had 8 different head coaches and 9 different offensive coordinators somewhere around there.
That's crazy, dude.
It's kind of like Alex Smith was with the Chiefs, and I kind of compare their careers, not the way they play or anything, but kind of just like not given really a great chance, as that number one pick to succeed. He had some success in 2020, and then, whether it's through his own ignorance or arrogance or whatever, he tries to play through injuries and, numbers aren't the same. Remember, that Browns team was Chad Henne's stop on a 12-yard scramble from the AFC Championship game that year. Maybe we're looking at Baker still with the Browns. So I think the consistency, the continuity with the offense, the upgrades they made to the offensive line, bringing in a guy like Cohen, who's worked with him, giving him more responsibility, it just bodes well for finally for back-to-back good seasons for Baker to go out there and kind of sling the rock and know what he's doing and understanding. And you got to remember, too, last season going into it, he was in a competition through training camp. So, he wasn't getting all the reps with the ones and kind of still developing that chemistry throughout the first couple weeks of the season. Now they're locked in, ready to go, and he's poised to have a really strong year this year.
Yeah, who helps is Mike Evans. And the guy, I feel like he kind of never gets talked about in the top wideouts, but just continues to deliver year after year. How's Evans and kind of the skill position players looking?
Yeah, I mean, Evans is finally starting to get his flowers now, and it's long overdue, with his 10 straight 1,000-yard seasons. And, Mike Evans is going to be Mike Evans. He's going to be
10 straight 1,000-yard seasons is nuts.
Right. He's going to be a vertical threat. But what he's also really underrated for is his route running. He's probably one of the better route runners in the NFL, probably like top 5, top 10. And that doesn't get talked about enough. But, with him and then moving Godwin.
And his durability, back to the slot, man. I just looked this up.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't miss games.
He does, and even when
he's played at least 15, that's crazy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Right, and some you know, when he was missing games early on, it was usually due to like soft tissue hamstring injuries. But you know, he's worked on that throughout his career. Obviously, you know, taking care of his body in better shape, and he's been able to have that sustainability too. But they're moving Godwin back in the slot, which is going to help his numbers profoundly. He's looking like, you know, pre-ACL Godwin before he suffered that injury. And Cohen said he's going to play a Cooper Kupp style role in this offense. So receptions galore are coming his way. And then Jalen McMillan has looked really well coming on as a rookie. They drafted him in the third round. Could end up being one of the steals of the draft, I think. He's on the same page with Baker. He's just very fluid, very smooth. You talk to guys like Antoine Winfield Jr., Levante David, guys who have been around and seen some of the best. And they just say he's like a savvy veteran out there. He kind of knows the soft spots in zone. He knows, you know, how to get open, how to create separation. And one of the question marks with him was, you know, can he play through physicality coming off the line and going across the middle? And he's shown that he can do that. And I think he's going to be a pivotal part of this offense.
Ty Bowles likes to blitz. Is that still his mindset coming out of the locker room, making sure your quarterback is ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to come up with some exotic looks. Exotic pressures. You kind of look. Last year, he had Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi as off-ball linebackers. So he's going to come up with certain things, and he's going to send them from everywhere. And I think that's one of the things about Todd Bowles' defense. Would he thrive with a, you know, double-digit consistent sack artist and one of these top premier edge rushers in the league? Yeah, but the way his defense is, you know, he brings it. He brings the pressure from all different areas. So it'll always keeping quarterbacks on their toes. It could be coming from the nickel, the corner, stunts, loops, different twists, all sorts of different things he's going to do. Simulated pressure, he's going to bring it in ways that are going to keep a quarterback wondering, A, where it's coming from, and make them have to get rid of the ball so quickly. And that's part of the reason why the sack numbers from their edge rushers haven't been as high, because it's an emphasis that offensive coordinators put in. Hey, we've got 2.5 seconds to get rid of this ball. If not, they're coming. Someone's coming from somewhere, and you need to get that ball out. So it kind of helps and it hurts the Bucs as well, especially the defense, because you know they want to get those sack numbers, but when the quarterbacks know that they're coming, he's got to get that ball out quick, and it kind of sometimes limits their opportunities to do so.
You said he had Vita Vea coming on as an off the line linebacker. That should be illegal to have that dude getting a head start.
A running start.
I mean, Vita is something rare. I mean, I've seen this guy be 5 yards deep in the backfield and run 20 yards down the field and tackle a running back. He's a rare breed. And he's slimmed down this season, too, making him faster.
Slimmed down
lighter.
To what?
330?
Yeah.
320. He was at 350 or 360 last year. So
he's now 320, a slim 320.
That's a big fella, man. Talking with JC Allen here. You can give him a follow at JC Allen NFL, Bucks reporter, writer, Bucks Game Day, SI Now. Check out the podcast. He's got it all cooking down there in Tampa. All right, dude. Obviously, this game, Sunday, 4 o'clock. The Bucks are installed as a favorite. What do you think happens?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in the beginning, there'll be some figuring it out, right? You haven't seen a lot of this Washington Commanders team, especially not Jaden Daniels. So there'll be a lot of figuring out, and that may maybe lead to some early plays by the Commanders. But I think after the half, Todd Bowles will get it kind of figured out. There's like this thing going around about how he's, you know, not great against quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, but he's actually 10-5 since joining the Bucs. One of those was a game he didn't play as starters. So I think the Bucks win this handily, probably around like by 10 points or so. I think there's just too many moving parts for the Commanders right now. I think they're going to be a good team, but it takes time for that chemistry to come and to kind of in a game setting. And Washington didn't play a lot of their starters in the preseason. They have pretty much a whole new defense other than their interior and a couple of defensive backs in the back there. I think they're a very promising team. I think the trajectory is certainly pointing up on them. But I think with the offensive line and I think with, you know, some of the pieces on defense, it's going to lead to some miscommunication and some big plays to be made by the Bucks. And I think they win probably – it's early, so offenses aren't always good. Probably somewhere around like 27-17 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's got a lot of questions. Tampa's bringing just about everybody back. But, you know, the reason you watch the games, you never know what's going to happen. JC, thank you for the time, man. Sunday. Really appreciate it, man. See you Sunday.
All right.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
That's JC Allen from Tampa, covers the Bucks for Bucks Game Day and SI Now. He's not wrong. On paper, this thing looks kind of one-sided. Honestly, they don't play the games on paper. Dalton Wasserman at 11.
From the mind.
The future bet you can make on the Commanders is to either go over or under that total. So let's proverbially walk up to the window here, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to pick a side, and we'll open up the phones for you guys right now. It should be fun. I want to take the temperature of our listening audience on this via you guys at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Would you bet on the Commanders to go over or under 6.5 wins?
It's over, but slight for me. I've got them right at 7. I think this is probably the range they should be in, which, again, is why as our buddy Chris Russell says, the boys in Vegas, just it's a group of 3 or 4 people in Vegas, just these boys gathering around deciding these types of odds.
But I was sitting next to Russell at Josh Harris's press conference last weekend over at the X, and Harris said at one point, like, you know,
I remember, he goes, I'll leave that to the guys in Vegas.
Exactly. Right? He's like, I'll leave that to the folks out in Vegas or whatever. And I literally, as Josh Harris is talking in the second row, turn around to Russell, who's right behind me, and I go, the boys in Vegas.
The boys in Vegas.
But anyway.
Yeah, but that's right where they belong, I think. Both in terms of turning over the roster, in terms of a new regime, new quarterback, all these types of things. There is not a ton of precedent for a team to just jump up and win 9 or 10 games. Our eye line is ruined because of what C.J. Stroud, the remarkable turnaround that Houston endured last year, but what's far more typical is incremental improvement. Plus, I forget the exact number. I don't have it in front of me. I was trying to look it up real quick from Warren Sharp. They have one of the more difficult schedules in the NFL. And as you start to, you know, tally it up here, you're not in terms of the gimmies, in terms of how dominant they're going to be. I think they'll be competitive in every game, but it feels like that 6 or 7 win plateau to me. So I'd probably say 7. The other nugget I would offer is, the folks at ESPN, who did that very like nerdy statistical breakdown, Mike Klain Company. They have a win probability of north of 50% in only one game. And that's a team that they haven't beat very much at all over the last handful of seasons in the Giants. So it doesn't mean that you lose every one of those games where you're a 34% favorite or a 48% favorite, et cetera. But it just means just on paper. So when you add it all up, I don't see the banner season a lot of folks are talking about in terms of 9 or 10 wins. I'm okay with that, by the way. I've got them right in that 7 win range. So I would take the over with some hesitation.
12th easiest schedule in the NFL via Sharp Analytics. Obviously, there are other metrics you can find. Most places have them somewhere between 5th and 6th easiest to about 10th. I think Sharp actually is one of the least favorable toward Washington's schedule, and he's got them still top 12. So schedule should not be an issue at all. You know how I do my strength of schedule bit. I don't do it the way a lot of people do where they look at the teams based on last year. The way I look at strength of schedule is quarterbacks that are on your schedule. You know, what QBs do you actually play? That's what I care about. Now, that can change too with injuries and generally it only gets easier. It doesn't get a lot harder because it's not like teams are going out and adding at the quarterback position. But you know, if you look at their early season schedule, I think they've got to start pretty quickly. You know, they play the Bucs and the Giants in weeks 1 and 2. I think both of those games are winnable, and I could actually see them being 2-0 going to Cincinnati for Monday Night Football. But I know that if they're going to be over 6.5, they probably have to have one of those two. I don't like the idea of 0-2 going to the Bengals for a primetime game on the road. That's going to be a difficult place to play. You then play the Cardinals. Through four games, you should be 2-2. You know, if you're not at least 1-3, you're in big, big trouble. But the Giants and Cardinals games are going to be toss-up type games. I know the Cardinals is on the road, but you could very easily be 500 through four games. Then you've got the Panthers, the Bears, and the Giants in a stretch right around Halloween. You get one of those, at least maybe two of those. But if you just run through it, I mean, it's the quarterback schedule includes Will Levis, Derek Carr, Daniel Jones twice. Hurts, the way he played last year, is no insurmountable task. They almost beat Philly twice. Deshaun Watson has not been good. They have Kyler Murray of Arizona, Baker Mayfield of Tampa Bay. So it's not a arduous schedule in that regard. So I'm going over as well, Danny. I'm a little more bullish maybe in the over than you are, too. Like 7 sounds about right, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to win 8 or if Jaden Daniels is really, really good if they got to 9. But we're in lockstep in saying over 6.5, which is a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the range among the bottom 5 or 6, maybe even 7 teams in the NFL in terms of win totals, right? Like, there's a couple that are 4.5. I think there's a couple that are 5.5, and a couple other that are around 6, 6.5. Depends on your sports book and depends on where you're looking. But so the world isn't terribly bullish, and I totally get your. You know, quarterback approach, like looking at it that way, that's as good a way to do it as any, because as you said,
we don't know anything.
Well, as you also said, rightly, we're basing a lot of it on last year. I'm trying to also put in what I think a team is going to be, but again, that's the beauty of this league, is you think you've got somebody figured out and then they're totally different. How many people thought Houston 10-7 last year with rookie of the year division winner? How many people, you know, were 100% sure that Detroit would be within a point or two away of winning the NFC title, or you know, the Green Bay would go on the run that they did? Or, I mean, there's a million different things that we try to predict and we can't. The Philadelphia would start 10-1 and fall apart. I mean, you don't know when you play a team, the old Shanahan axiom. But to me, on paper, if they're explosive and high ceiling enough to win some of these games that, you know, just if it got high scoring at times in the last couple of seasons, they had no chance for the most part, right? Except maybe with the exception of one of those Philly games or the Broncos going back and forth. But if you're like playing in one of those high level NFL games, it was like, okay, you're going to leave this team in the distant rearview. If they've got the wherewithal maybe to win a couple of those games, because to your point, Daniels is doing something explosive, and you steal one against, Philadelphia on the road there, then you can kind of start to creep up that total a little bit to me.
I mean, you don't have to play Mahomes. You know, they do have to deal with Jackson and Burrow, but no Allen, Herbert, Stafford. You know, last year you played the Jets, didn't have to deal with Rodgers, but would have. It's probably a middle of the pack quarterback schedule if you do it that way. From the
CBSSports.com put out an article where they do the ceiling and the floor predictions for every team in the NFL.
For wins or just for this week?
For the entire season.
Okay, so for wins. All right.
So their prediction for the Commanders, their ceiling for the Commanders is an 8-9 finish, missing the playoffs. And here's the write-up for it. Plenty of reasons to be excited in Washington with Jaden Daniels having the keys of the offense in his rookie year. He'll be a player to watch every week, especially since he provides a threat to get first downs on the ground. Daniels gets a reliable wideout in Terry McLaurin and a promising rookie tight end in Ben Sinnott to pair with Zach Ertz. Running back Austin Eckler is looking for a bounce back year as well. Dan Quinn is charged with fixing a defense that was arguably the worst in the NFL last season. The Commanders will have multiple new starters on the revamped unit with linebackers Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, Jason's neighbor, I threw that in there, significant upgrades from last year. Things are looking up in Washington. So that's the ceiling case, according to CBSSports.com, for the Commanders.
And what is the floor case?
Can I guess their floor?
Ooh, 5-13.
113.
Five.
EB, 5-12. Care to guess a floor for the Commanders, according to CBSSports.com?
I mean, if Jaden goes down, it could be like, yeah, 3 or 4. If Jaden goes down, but if he stays healthy, I'm pretty optimistic.
CBSSports.com has the floor for the Commanders as 6-11, obviously missing the playoffs. The Commanders have improved, but this is still a rebuild. The secondary was the worst in football last year, and it's still a work in progress, especially at corner. The pass rush improved with Dorrance Armstrong, yet needs Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen to play at their 2022 levels. The O-line was poor last year, and Daniels may be running for his life, needing center Tyler Biadasz to solidify it. This roster is still evolving, but the Commanders will be better in Quinn's first year.
This is maybe why you want to lean more towards the ceiling. I just saw this, and I posted this on our Instagram page. Give us a follow at Sports Junkies Radio. The Athletic surveyed 31 agents. They do an annual agent survey. And the team voted as having the best offseason, the Washington Commanders.
Wow, that's... Okay, agents, I would rather it be personnel people than agents, but still, that's a positive sign.
But they're dealing with personnel. Okay. I would say the ceiling is higher than what they have. My ceiling would be 10 wins. Jaden Daniels has the C.J. Stroud-like season, and they are this year's Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. So I would say the ceiling is higher. My floor would be lower because there's a possibility. From all the reports, it doesn't seem likely, but there's a possibility that Jaden Daniels has a Bryce Young-like rookie season, or he gets hurt. There's a good possibility the secondary stinks, and the offensive line struggles, and a lot of things can go wrong.
Is more possible with Jaden, the him getting hurt, than him having a Bryce Young-like type season. I just don't see him having that poor of a stat line.
They don't have great weapons for him.
Yeah, but I think the difference is you're discounting his legs and the fact that, I mean, he could run for 800 or 900 yards as a rookie if he stays healthy.
I'm not discounting on it because I'm not betting on that, but I'm just saying that I think the floor is lower than the 6 wins and they have. They could have a repeat season. Their defense was dead last year.
You don't think they're markedly better defensively?
I think their linebackers are better. I think that their pass rush is a huge question mark. And their secondary is weak.
Yeah.
And then I think the offensive line struggles. We don't know if Noah Brown's going to be a good number two receiver or whatever the heck they do. I know you've got confidence. They might not have enough for him.
I do think, look,
I said the ceiling should be higher. I don't know. What is your range?
I think the ceiling could be 10-7.
That's exactly what I said. Ceiling of 10.
And I think like the floor, I think their floor is close. Like I don't think they're worse than like a 5-win team. If they're right where they were last year with Ron, or God forbid worse,
yeah,
then the first year of Dan Quinn is just
an unmitigated
disaster.
If you want to chime in,
better than Ron.
You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. What do you think the floor and the ceiling are for the Washington Commanders this season? So my floor, 4 wins. Repeat of last year, just dreadful. Everything goes wrong. Ceiling 10 wins. They're this year's Houston Texans.
Yeah. I'm going to put some stock into the coaching staff and how they're just going to be more prepared each week. I think the defense will be better. I don't know how much better. Not going to be dead last. I mean, they could be 5, 6, 7 spots better in the league, but that's still a significant difference to me. Offensively, I think that...
markedly better.
Yeah, I would agree. And I also think that they'll be more balanced offensively because Kingsbury is going to do a much better job than Bienemy did.
Right.
I still have concerns about the wide out threats because if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm just taking McLaurin out of the game and I'm making those other guys beat me. All right, if they start beating me, I'll adjust. But that's what I would do as a DC.
We're forgetting about our tight ends and Eckler and Robinson, those guys coming out of the backfield, catching balls.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a factor. I just don't know yet. I don't know because we just didn't see enough from Daniels.
By the way, I botched the thing about Robinson. As a rookie, he was put on the pup list and missed the first 4 games.
Right.
I'd forgotten. Yeah. I'd blocked that out.
I know, and we just let you.
And did he come back in week five?
Us.
Did he play in that fifth game?
I think so. Yeah. Who knows?
Now, but you had them as a 7-win team, I believe, when we went through the schedule. And we're going to do it again during our crab kickoff on Thursday.
I think that'll be my first official. There's still not a schedule prediction in there for
this. But, Jason, give me your floor, your ceiling.
I think ceiling's probably 9 wins. I think that'd be a great year. Because if you win 9 games, that means your quarterback played pretty darn well.
I might be getting swept up in Jaden mania, personally.
I still have to see.
And what's your floor?
There's no way they're going to be 4-13.
I could be wrong.
I would say their floor is probably 6 wins.
I think my schedule prediction, my crab cake schedule prediction, is going to be, it might start with a 1.
Really?
And there might be another number. It's not going to just be 1-16. Like,
yeah.
There's going to be a second number after the 1.
Right.
Oh, and it probably looks like this.
Oh, are we drinking a strong?
He's done that like 2 out of the last 3 Bickle. Seasons.
Are we drinking a strong IPA on Thursday?
I guess.
Didn't you think they were going to win double digits with Fitzpatrick?
You can have a little.
I was swept up in Ryan Fitzpatrick mania. Yeah. I fell for Fitzmagic. I didn't know he went on a water slide and injured his hip before the season.
You're just short of EB on the Kool-Aid drinking of the Commanders.
I might be ladling the Kool-Aid with Jaden Daniels.
Right, EB, what's your floor? What's your ceiling?
It's an impossible question to ask. It has to be caveats.
It's actually not impossible.
It is because it can't see the future.
It's actually a pretty easy question. No, it's floor to ceiling.
No, it's not.
There's an answer.
No, it's not. There has to be a caveat. Does Jaden stay healthy?
No, but that's the point. No, you build that into your floor.
We can't read the future.
You build that into your floor.
The whole season hinges on him.
So if he gets hurt, how many games they win?
They could win 0.
Okay, so that's your floor, 0 wins.
If he gets hurt?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the whole season.
If he's like Aaron Rodgers, plays 4 snaps, and he tears his Achilles.
And then we have to go to Mariota? It's
Mario.
Over.
Yeah,
Mariota, whatever. Over.
So your floor then would be 0.
My floor would be, how many did Mariota win when he, Mariota, whatever. You can't even say the guy's
Mariota.
He's so
you can't
not
say
good
name.
That no one knows his name.
It's Marcus Mariota.
Mariota, when he, Jabs Idol, when he played before he quit in Atlanta.
On the Falcons?
How many wins did he have before he quit?
They were almost 500.
I'm going to guess 6 or 7.
Well, I just don't think he can do it.
All right, what's your ceiling? Can you answer that?
Yeah, 10, 11.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, 10 or 11 is my ceiling, 100%. If we're balling?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unreasonable.
If Eckler's as good as Jason and I think, if Ertz can stay healthy, or they play Sinnott.
I think Ertz is going to have a bunch of catches.
I think he's going to have a bunch, or I think Sinnott can do it.
Because there's no established number 2.
But, by the way, he hadn't stayed healthy for years.
I understand, but the last time he played, I think 15 games a few years ago, he had a lot of catches in a Cliff Kingsbury offense.
Yeah. That's fine. But again, staying healthy is
I understand
not
that
very easy to do.
That's the big question for him.
It can happen. If we pressure, I mean, you know what? I know we lost Chase and Montez. Those guys,
yeah.
They didn't really do that much. Montez had moments. It's not like we lost anything. So these bums we brought in, why can't they be as good or better than the bums we got rid of?
Did I bet on them for the stupid sack record? I think I might have.
Yeah,
an awful bet.
Yeah, those guys, we act like we lost something. They didn't really do anything.
You love addition by subtraction.
It's addition by subtraction.
You love Dorrance Armstrong.
Dante Fowler. I'm not going to say bus proof on Jaden. I'm going to say can't miss her. He's a can't misser.
Seems like a can't misser.
He's a can't
That's
misser.
Very similar to bus proof.
I'm going to say
similar. They're right next to each other.
He's a can't. It gives me a little more leeway. I'm can't misser. He's Jaden Daniels will be a star in this league.
I would say
save that.
Can't misser is
be
very
a star
close
in
to
this
bus
league.
Proof.
I know.
They're same.
They're basically the same.
I know. Look, star, not just pretty good.
Yeah.
No. A full-blown superstar. Not necessarily by week 3. But when this is all said and done, we're going to look back and say this was the transformative guy
that changed the
direction of the franchise.
God willing.
He's not Haskins. He's not Howell. He's not Wentz. He's not Fitzmagic.
He's way better than Robert.
Heineke, your guy.
I mean, the only guy that I could say that for sure will be tough to surpass would actually be Kirk, because Kirk has been really good.
It's been very good.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. What do you think the floor is for the Commanders, and what do you think the ceiling is?
Let's go to Jim. Jim is just a negative Nelly. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead. Just bring everybody down.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, sir.
Here's my take. I might be 5.5. I think the coaching staff, new organization, might jump it up 1.5 games, but we got to be really serious about the offensive line. We can talk about the two new players, but we can also just talk that I don't see a tremendous improvement. I think we're equal, or maybe just a hair back on the receivers. Maybe we're equal. I don't know. We're basically saying Peter's strategy of let's put together a committee that's going to work better than Jahan Dotson. I really don't know. In terms of, and I asked you this question before I make my final point, what did C.J. Stroud, was that 10 wins for him?
The Texans,
last
yes.
Last year, yeah.
Okay, well, he's the absolute, he's the ceiling on roids. I mean, he is the top. Anybody who says over 10 is in a different planet. But I think 7 would be solid. It also just takes into consideration a really strong start by Daniels, but not perhaps a Stroud performance.
Do you believe when it's all said and done that Jaden Daniels will be a star NFL quarterback?
I think 80% star at least. I really do. I just think that he's got everything you need. He's got real strong confidence that I think people don't weigh into as much. I just think he's going to go in
there.
It's
a quiet confidence. It's
swagger.
It's not an arrogance that is off-putting, like other guys we've had around here.
Like Robert.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love you guys' take.
Yeah, thank you.
So the Texans in 2022 were 3-13-1. So slightly worse than what Washington was last year. They jumped to 10-7 last season. But also, I always bring up, Indianapolis, I mean, played the Texans in the last game. The winner was going to go to the playoffs. Like, they were that close to the same type of turnaround.
We can't overstate how much better our coaching staff is than those losers.
So much better.
Losers, top to bottom, that we had.
I generally agree with you, but Quinn's resume is just like Ron's when he took over.
Take the whole thing. Take the whole staff.
Yeah, we like Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator when he took over.
I understand, but we were wrong. We were all wrong. Not wrong about the staff.
The Jaden Daniels rushing prop, what do you think it is?
I'm going to say 475
yards.
No,
for the game. I'm sorry,
for
Tampa.
This game.
68.
No, it's got to be lower than that. 47.5.
All right, would you go over or under that?
I'd go over.
It's lower.
It's lower than that.
Definitely
what
go
is
over.
It?
39.5.
Oh, I did.
That's the only...
Can I borrow money from you to make that bet?
Yeah.
Sure. And from you?
Brian Robinson's rushing prop. What do you think it is?
61.5 yards.
Would you go over or under?
I would go
over.
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 Man, you guys think they're going to run like 200 yards.
No, no.
It's way under that.
What is it?
37.5.
42.5.
Oh, my God. Put your entire 401k on it.
All right,
he has never looked this good.
All right, hold on.
Put your entire 401k on B-Rob over 42 yards.
Better be tweaks his ankle.
Cakes. That. In all my years of doing the show, how many years have we been doing this? I forgot.
Like almost 30, Rick.
28. That's the biggest lock I've ever heard.
All right. Passing
in the preseason,
EB.
Say
that so you can play it on
preseason.
Don't put it in.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
He had 8 carries.
I will.
What?
He had 8 carries in the preseason.
I know, but
for 42 yards.
Saving him for the regular season, Rick.
Listen, you talk to elite talent evaluators. They just need to see a few minutes. That's all. Elite guys like me. That's all we need. I don't need 50 carries.
You thought Carson Wentz was silly.
No, I didn't. I was 51-49 on Wentz. Go to the tape. I said cautiously optimistic.
All right, passing props for Daniels
from the mind.
If you missed any of our interview with Pete Prisco, get on the Odyssey app and hit rewind because he was really good and he really, really likes Jaden Daniels. And I think a lot of folks listening to us probably feel the same way. I think you would enjoy listening to that if you missed it. If you're just getting in your car, I mean, wake up earlier. I don't know where the hell you've been doing.
Yeah.
We've been talking about football since the show began. All football coverage on 106.7
The Fan. You're not excited today, something wrong with you.
Yeah, dude. All the football coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you get tons of benefits and still save on every plan against AT&T or Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
/switch. Boy, you do that real slow, don't you?
Slash switch. That's a tough combo for me, but I've been getting it.
You got it.
I don't believe this will happen, really, in any capacity. And a lot, certainly a knowledgeable football analyst with a very large platform between ESPN and social media and everything else. But let's hear this Mina Kimes audio about the possibility of Davante Adams moving on from the Raiders.
I think the Raiders are going to be a bad football team.
Yes.
And while I don't think the Commanders, you know, I don't have them as a playoff team, I think by midseason, they will have won enough games and seen enough with Jaden Daniels where they want to invest in him midseason. And the thing about Davante Adams, guys, you know, like, because I was thinking about which teams would trade for him. And, like, you're tempted by teams where it's like they just need the final piece, you know, whether it's like the Ravens or the Bills or the Jets or whatever. But his contract is actually very, I think, attractive to a team that wants to keep him around for some time. It's very tradable. I mean, it's $35 million a year after this season, but that's all salary. So you could trade for him, restructure it, keep him in the building for a long time. And I still think he's an incredibly, incredibly elite wide receiver. Obviously, he was not thrilled with the situation in Las Vegas last year. But the Commanders strike me as a team that have both, they're going to be like just feisty enough to want to do this. And I think they're also going to be motivated to improve the circumstances of their young quarterback.
But it all starts from DeSean Jackson and his podcast. And you know what he always says, if it doesn't come from the horse's mouth, it's BS. And he says he's only talked to DeSean 4 times in his life. He never mentioned anything to him about that. So you don't know where that came from.
You said DeSean Jackson. You mean yeah. DeSean Watson?
No, DeSean Jackson. Davante Adams.
Went on DeSean Jackson's
podcast. No, he didn't go on podcast. DeSean Jackson in his podcast was discussing Devontae's dislike in Oakland and with the Raiders.
Yeah.
And he said he's never talked to him but 4 times in his life, and he's never talked to him about this topic.
Davante said that of DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where a lot of that stuff started at, he said.
That makes sense. I mean, there were rampant rumors last year connecting Davante Adams with the Jets. Then Rodgers gets hurt, so why would you make the move?
Yeah.
Davante Adams, in the Netflix documentary of last season with the Raiders, clearly unhappy. Clearly, clearly unhappy. Openly talked about it at various points, specifically the quarterback situation. I don't expect him to become happier this year with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell as the starters.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, they just had ample opportunity to trade for Brandon Ayuk. And who knows if it actually would have happened. But, like, they could have done that if they wanted to. They didn't. Ayuk is significantly younger than Adams. Now, he's not as good. Davante Adams is a first-ballot Hall of Fame receiver.
He's a bad one.
And Ayuk is good. Just Davante Adams is great, and at various times has been the best receiver in football. He might be the best red zone receiver in football of the last like 20, 25 years, depending on what Randy Moss's category would be. Davante Adams is fantastic. to make this move at the deadline, I don't see a...
See, the way I look at
they
it,
they just keep telling us this is a long-term thing. It's
every time somebody was going to be out there, be free, Washington used to be the name that popped up.
Right.
And the way I'm watching Adam works, Adam don't seem to be, oh, just because. It has to make tons of sense. So I'm kind of with you. I don't see that happening. And then again, that's automatically saying that nothing is going to look good here before then. What if everything is working out perfectly at that point? You don't just make that deal just to make it.
I think it was the same podcast earlier this year where they said that like Cliff Kingsbury could be on the hot seat, and I was like, hot seat? He just got here. Like
in 1 year?
Yeah.
Damn.
Or that Dan Quinn could be on the hot seat if I know this came from a Mina Kimes podcast that Dan Quinn could be on the hot seat if the offense looks really good and the defense doesn't. I don't see any of that. Like, I don't see this team. Honestly, the type of moves I could see this team making at the trade deadline would be if they are out of it and they're 3-6, you've got a couple veteran pieces that a contending team might be very interested in.
Yeah.
And analytically, there would be a easy support for that. We saw it last year. Trading Chase was one thing. Perhaps that was more complicated. But trading Montez, there was reasons not to want to do that from a football perspective.
Yeah.
And they did it. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see another year of that. I think this team is far more likely to be a seller at the deadline than a buyer at the deadline. Yeah, I think
a lot of people in that makes these type of comments, they have a reputation of being, you know, very good at their job. But, you know, I think a lot that hot takes thing and so much competition in sports today, I think some things are said just to be just – I'm going to say it. I don't have no proof on it. I'm going to say it. And if it happens, I said it first. I think that happens too often with the even some of the people that are the top.
The only part I would add about Devontae Adams – he's going into the third year of a contract extension. It carries $17 million in guaranteed money. He's got a $25 million cap hit, okay? The Raiders couldn't really do anything with him this year. Next year, though, there's no guaranteed money on that deal. It would be a $16 million cap hit, but it would be a $28 million cap savings if they released him.
Mm-hmm.
If they gave him a post-June 1 designation, which is, if you're considering that move, certainly what you do, the dead money goes down to about $8 million, and you save $36 million on the cap. Like,
I understand. I ask you this question. You think they want to not have him around and don't get something for him?
Perhaps. I'm not saying they might not try to trade him. I can understand that.
If he's not there, they're trying to get something for him.
This thing could go – when you have a player that's this unhappy, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Raiders season goes poorly, if that's yet another new GM roster redo, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if that's a release, honestly, with a $44 million cap hit versus compared to a $35 million. Now, who knows? Maybe he plays great this year, and they just keep him.
I think that a guy like that, that people still will want on their roster, you try to make a trade for him. You don't just release him and get nothing for him.
Sure. When do you do it? You can't do it now because ideally you want him on your team to try to win games.
Yeah, so maybe you want him.
Adams becomes – I also wouldn't look past – we know who's running the show for the Jets, B. We know it.
Yep. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, yes. It's Aaron Rodgers with the owner. They're running the operation. And if the Jets are good by the trade deadline, I would have a hard time looking past that as the absolute top option to get Devontae.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think that's
and if they add honestly, him, they can be a hell of an offense if Aaron stays healthy.
Well, and if Wilson's playing at the level, a lot of folks think, right there.
Whew,
yeah, something just incredibly weird and unfortunate happened at a Nats game that I want to make sure we all know this story. Plus, we asked B. Mitch, who are the rudest fans in the NFL? Nobody go anywhere. You'll hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt today.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a Ford owner, there are lots of choices of where to get your vehicle serviced. You could choose to go to their place, the local dealership, your place, home, apartment, or condo, your workplace, even your happy place, like your cottage on the lake. Go to your Ford dealer or choose Ford Pickup and Delivery to have your vehicle picked up, serviced, and brought right back. Or choose mobile service, where a technician will come to you and do routine maintenance right on the spot. Both are complimentary and depend on your location. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
Let's dive into Jaden Daniels' rookie season. What does Daniels have to do this year for you to feel like he's the guy at the end of 17 games? Could be statistics, numbers. I don't think it should be, but maybe that's how you're going to do it. Could be what he looks like. Could be just staying healthy. What's your answer to that? At the end of this season, 17 games from now, what's it going to take for you to feel like Washington has their answer in Jaden Daniels and not to still be skeptical, not to still need to see more, not to go into next season as a make or break? Let's figure this out in 2025. We'll open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067.
So the simple word for me is health, but there's a lot that goes into that. And here's what that entails. That's sliding. In the secondary, when you've made the big gain, you're making the play, and you've got a chance for a first down or whatever, you get down, you get out of harm's way. It means you don't hold on to the ball to do that hero play like Sam Howell was doing early on last season where he got crunched and knocked even in week number one. When the play's dead, you throw it away. It means you stay out of trouble as much as possible. The hits are going to come. It's the NFL. You're going to be hit as the quarterback of a football team, whether you're good, bad, or indifferent. The great ones get hit. The bad ones get hit more. You avoid the unnecessary ones. If he shows the ability to do that, I think that's going to go an awfully long way to sort of relieve that huge amount of anxiety I have about him and his frame and the proclivity to take too many hits unnecessarily. To me, if he's able to get through this year without taking those extra ones that don't necessarily knock you out every time, right? You could take some of those bad hits and bounce right back up and be fine until you're not. That's a huge thing for me. It's about that process of him staying healthy.
So that's on my list, but it's not at the top of my list. I'll move that one to number three, and we'll get to that in a second. Number one, for Jaden Daniels to prove to me this season over the next 18 weeks and 17 games that he's the guy, I need him to prove that he can move in the pocket. I need him to process and get the ball out. I need him to not make life harder on Washington's offensive line. And this goes to the pressure, sack percentage, things that we talked about quite a bit in ad nauseum before the draft. I need him to show that he's not going to turn pressures into sacks and that that's not going to be a bugaboo. The reason that was such a talking point that it became annoying to people, especially those that were big Daniels backers prior to the draft, was because anybody who looked at the numbers saw this was an alarming rate. And there are examples, very rarely, but there are examples of guys who have left those problems behind them in college and improved. But it's rare. More often than not, if you have that issue in college, you end up having that issue in the NFL. So that's the first thing I'm going to be monitoring very closely. The second thing is, another thing that I had as a question mark coming out of LSU. Is he throwing well in the middle of the field and executing the NFL passing concepts on in-breakers that I think are pertinent? We didn't see that in college. We saw like 95% of the stuff you need to be able to do at quarterback done at LSU and at a really high level. A special, elite, upper echelon, all-time, Heisman, Hall of Fame in college type level. But there were a few things we didn't, like those in-breaking things, middle of the field, majoring in those, fitting the ball into small windows. I'll be monitoring that this year when he gets the opportunities to do that. And then the third thing is the decision-making in the open field as it pertains to taking hits, opting out of decleating moments, not putting himself in any more risk than he'll already be in with his frame, being as slender as anybody at his height in history, basically, at the position, to go on to have a strong career. Because you already know, Danny, you're going to get folded up at times in the pocket.
It's the league, man.
You're going to get landed on by some giant. Has anyone seen that dude at the University of Florida, by the way, who's like 463 pounds?
You mean the two guys that are masquerading as one somehow?
That's the biggest dude I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, that guy landing on you will ruin your afternoon. Imagine just Jaden Daniels on his side and that guy falling on him. That's petrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not in the league yet. He's at Florida, luckily. But there are big dudes, Gilbert Brown-like dudes, that are just waiting to fall on you and break your collarbone. So the pocket's scary enough. I need the decisions that he makes outside of the pocket to be made correctly. So those are going to be my things I'm tracking. And if he can find me some wins in those categories, I'll know he's the dude. Because the rest of it, he's already proven he can do. And now it's about coaching, bringing it out. This was Booger McFarland, covers college and pro football for ESPN. On the show yesterday, we did an outstanding interview with Boog. This is what he had to say about Daniels as a rookie.
Anytime you start a rookie quarterback, there are going to be ups and downs. I think of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think he is in not the best position, but I think he'll play the best. I think his demeanor, his poise, his maturity, he's got some decent weapons up there, as you guys know, led by Terry McLaurin. But overall, I think he's going to bring a different dynamic to that team. And from everything that I can hear, the leadership, how guys are already following him, I truly think the Commanders are going to be pretty good. I think there's a reason for optimism in D.C.
So the only thing I disagree with in Booger's statement right there is the weaponry and the, you know, the excellence in the passing game. McLaurin, yes, there's a lot of uncertainty elsewhere. I think they're trying to take things off his plate, right? By smash mouth a little bit, run a little bit, going short and try to get some yards after the catch a little bit. But I don't know how prolific it's going to be. But the rest of it, I agree with the positive sentimentality.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.